sermon text this morning from the Old Testament reading, the book of Ruth. Know, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. They lifted up their voices and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So after looking at today's Old Testament reading and today's Gospel reading, looking at those readings, I was curious about a couple things. I really was curious as to what tied these two things together, because in the lectionary, there's usually a theme running through, and then oftentimes the epistle is a continuous epistle. You might read from an entire book of the Bible or large chunks of it. But the Gospel and the Old Testament are usually tied together somehow. I was thinking, wow, are we going to hear from the book of Ruth over the next couple of weeks? And I looked that up. I was like, no, we're not going to hear from the book of Ruth over the next couple of weeks. Because it was kind of odd. With the book of Ruth, you kind of got to get through the whole thing. You kind of got to get from the beginning to the end to get the gist of everything that's going on in the book of Ruth. So it wasn't that. What is it? And then I looked at the gospel reading. I was like, okay. Ah. Here's something that they seem to share in common. And it was the idea of foreigners. You see, in the gospel reading, the healing of the 10 lepers, the one who came back was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. He was not of the people of God. Aha! And then Elimelech and Naomi left Bethlehem. They left Israel because of a famine. And they sojourned in a foreign land. They became strangers in a strange land with strange languages and strange customs and strange gods. Right? Okay. So the lepers were in exile, and in their misery they were of like association, hanging out with each other for friendship and comradeship and companionship. And they were of like mind, crying out to God to redress their injuries and redress their life problems. Being healed, 9 went their own way, 1 returned to God. Okay. And then this little family left Israel because of the famine, Elimelech and Naomi and their sons, so surrounded by pagan worship, they kept faith in the God of Israel. They even brought 2 Moabite women, Orpah and Naomi, to faith in the true God. So even in exile, evangelistic work of the church continues on. So you've got all this, and I'm trying to chew through this, and I'm like, okay, there are exiles, but what about Naomi? Like, think about Naomi for a second. She would endure the experiences of life that would make her certainly feel as if she was a foreigner to God. Indeed, what Naomi was beset with were experiences common to most people and experiences that you might face together in your life. They can come to you. What Naomi and Orpah and Ruth would experience in their lives, well, that could draw them closer to God, or their life experiences could cause them to turn their back on God and walk away from Him. The same is true for your life experiences. They can draw you closer to God, or they can cause you to turn your back on God and walk away from Him. So Elimelech took his family to a foreign land and a foreign country with foreign languages and foreign gods. And apparently it wasn't very long before he died. He died in this foreign country. And I'm sure that was a humongous blow to this little family, to lose a husband and a father. So in the span of these 10 years, what did Naomi go through? The family suffered famine. There was the joy of marriages. 2 of her sons got married. But there was the sadness of no children given to those 2 marriages. Then there was the death of Elimelech. And even though that struck the family hard, unbeknownst to the family, still the angel of death was hovering around that family. And the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, died also. And in that day and in that cultures, that would have plunged the remaining three members of the family, these women, into poverty. So not only was there famine in their home, not only did they lose a father, they lost two other husbands, and they were probably, more than likely, living in poverty. So the family had experienced both the light and the darkness of human existence, the good times and the very extremely low times. So what do we have here in the book of Ruth? We have an average family history, right? So there was the time of the judges, right? This long period of Israel's history where we read about the rise of Israel, then Israel turning its back on God, and then foreign invaders coming in. And when we read our history books, we know these great waves of history that pass back and forth over nations. And yet, those nations are comprised of individuals just like you. And you're slogging through your daily life while the vast events of world history roll over the top of you. And then we have just this little zeroing in on this family, this Bethlehem family who was in exile. There's no indication of what this family mostly went through, but we know that here's one family caught in the economic depression and the emotional turmoil of their times. It doesn't tell us that Elimelech and Naomi's family were unbelieving, or that they had offended God in some way, or that there was some reason that they were being punished or anything like that. Instead, there are just some events in existence in which the righteous suffer right along with the wicked. And it's not always a person's fault, is it, that they are down and out, or that they are the recipients of tragedy? For it often happens that the rain falls on the just and the unjust equally. Still, we can only imagine that the laments of Naomi and her daughters-in-law, as they felt alienated and cast off by God. And perhaps you too have struggled with that and walked through that in your own lives, where you have felt alienated and cast off by God. Perhaps in your own life there has been an opportunity to cry out in laments to God. You yourself feeling exiled from the love of God and a stranger to His presence. Maybe you have besetting sins that you battle and battle and battle, and you lose that battle periodically, and you cry out, "Why? I don't want to do this. Why do I find myself doing it?" Just like Paul, you cry out, "The good that I would, I do not do, and that which I do not want to do, I constantly find myself doing." And like Paul, you cry out, "Who will save me from this body of death?" And we know Paul's answer, "Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What a wonderful thing to hear the Apostle Paul struggling with his own sins as an example for all of us who struggle with our own besetting sins. You also are aware that God has created a good world, but you also know it's a fallen world, a world that is beset with sin and problems because of the sin that came into the world. So came alienation from God. And when we were alienated from God, what else came into the world? Well, death came into the world also. And we wrestle and fight and struggle against that. We've all buried our loved ones, and we've all cried those tears. Wherever we look at our beautiful world, it's filled with levels of pain. There's emotional pain, there's physical pain. It is a world of separation and a world of exile. And then again, there is the emotional and mental separation many of us may find from those who live right close to us or those who are around us. And of course, there's also the separation of physical distance from loved ones. As many of you experience family members moving away and finding jobs in other communities and other states, and we at least have the blessing of FaceTime or the internet to stay connected, unlike the old days when it was just handwritten letters. But still, it hurts. It's no fun. It's not enjoyable. And for those of us who are away from family, who can't just go over to Grandma's house for supper on a Sunday afternoon, well, that hurts too. There's all this separation that's all around us. And there's also Yes, the separation of death that comes to each and every one of us, separated from those we love by death. How does the Scripture describe it? Where do we cry out with the psalmist, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why are you so downcast within me? O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. My soul is greatly troubled. Naomi was so cut and wounded by the events of her life, so much so that she cried out that the hand of the Lord had gone out against her. And perhaps she consoled her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, with the words of Job, "Shall we not receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" As it is written in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is hard to hear and hard to wrap our heads around, but God says, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none who can deliver out of my hand." Here in the book of Deuteronomy, at this point, the Concordia Self-Study Bible has a quote taken from Luther. God wants us to regard the evils that we experience as coming to us with His permission. That's hard to wrap our heads around, isn't it? God allows things to come into our lives. God permits evil to come to us, for it is His will that when we have been chastened, that we cast ourselves on His mercy. The problems and troubles and trials and tribulations that come into our lives cause us to turn to God, to turn to Him for mercy and redress and forgiveness. It is here that it becomes clear that these three women, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah, are at a bend in the road. It's the same bend in the road that each and every one of us faces over and over again. We who are aliens and exiles through sin have been brought into the family of God through our baptisms, through what the Holy Spirit has done for us by drawing us to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just like Orpah and Ruth, we too have been brought into the family of God. And now Naomi proposes to turn to her people. She wants to go back to Bethlehem because she has heard that God has been gracious to His people and given them food. Orpah and Ruth are faced with the point of clinging to the God that they had confessed or returning to idols and abandoning the God of Israel. In trial, in the tribulation that we face in the exile of this world, we have the option of clinging to our God or letting go and falling into unbelief. I get it. The church is asking you to do something very hard and very difficult, and without the help of the Holy Spirit, there's no way it could happen. But what we're doing here is we're asking you to do a very difficult and hard thing, and that is, I want you to trust in somebody you've only read about, somebody you haven't seen, somebody who's never come to you in a dream or spoken to you face to face. We want you to trust in Jesus. We want you to trust in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Smack dab right in the midst of all your mental, emotional, physical pain, your trials and your tribulations, we're asking you to have confidence that there is a God and that this God has your best interests at heart and that this God will indeed work all things to the good of those who love Him. And we want you to understand that there is a cosmic picture to our daily lives. There's a cosmic reality. Things we don't see, but they are really and truly there. I referenced Job earlier. Job couldn't see what was going on in the heavenly realms. And he is the very one who proclaimed, "I know that my Redeemer lives. And in the end He will stand upon the earth. And after my flesh is destroyed, I myself will see Him with my own eyes. These eyes and not another. How my heart yearns within me." What could Naomi see? Naomi could only see what was right in front of her. She couldn't see that Ruth would marry Boaz and that they would have a son named Obed. And this son named Obed would be the father of Jesse. And Jesse would be the father of King David. And King David, the ancestor of Jesus, the Savior of the world. And so the Savior of the world would be born with descendants who were what? Who were foreigners. Who were foreigners from the true God. And yet brought into the household of faith. The Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior would be born as an exile in this world, and He would be its King. He would redeem it, and He would make this world His. He, this God, this Savior, has taken you, and like Ruth, He has brought you into His kingdom and made you a citizen, so that you are no longer a foreigner, a wanderer, or an exile. It is to this God that I invite you to continue to trust in. This day, be reminded to continue to place your trust, your confidence, your faith in that very God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Listen to His call. Cling to Him. And remember what the Lord Christ said to Thomas. You believe because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.